Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Welcome on in. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Kyle Quinn behind the glass, and you guys with us on a Wednesday. We got a lot going on today. Seth Joyner joins us for now to dissect what the Eagles did on Sunday. Look ahead to the game against the Giants. Elliot later in the show, and we will carry in its entirety the Nick Sirianni press conference at 12. What nonsense will come out today? I can't wait. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. Hey, listen. It's never too early to order your honey baked ham or honey baked turkey. You know what's funny? I was talking to some friends of mine last night, and they were telling me, I've never had. Have you ever had honey baked turkey?
Not turkey. I've had the ham way back in the day.
Yeah, but I was told that the honey baked turkey will change your life.
Are you ordering one?
I don't know. I'm in the process of trying to find me a place to stay, so that might be on the menu.
Thanksgiving at Hughes, everyone.
Hey, honey baked turkey.
Well, that does sound good.
Sandwiches and all that other stuff.
Yeah, you'll be good for a while. All right, we got a lot to get to today, but now you have me hungry here on this Wednesday morning. Hugh, yesterday we had the chance to air the Rob Thompson and Dave Dombrowski press conference, right, as the Phillies put a little bow on their season. And the state of the Phillies was given to us by those two. And we found out, of course, that Dave Dombrowski had extended the contract of Rob Thompson, which I'm good with. I want a topper back. We talked about that last week. And I might surprise you here. I'm bothered by what I heard yesterday. It had nothing to do with Topper, though. Like, I am fine with Topper coming back. In fact, on Friday, I said I would bring him back. That's not what bothered me yesterday. Hugh, I was bothered by the tone of that press conference yesterday because it came off to me as two things. Number one, hey, we got this. Trust us. And number two, a little bit of a shrug of the shoulders about what happened at the end of the season. It didn't feel to me like they were really reflective on their issues and why they didn't win a World Series. And instead, they were almost going towards the randomness of baseball or, hey, we tried. What do you want us to do? Well, we want you to win a World Series championship, and we're concerned this team, which is older, is not going to get the job done without a real change here. And I walked away yesterday. We listened to the whole thing. We reacted a little bit. It was, more towards the middle and end of our show. And I just came across bothered by the messaging those two brought across, especially Dombrowski. It just felt like a, hey, yeah, we gave it our effort, our all. What are you supposed to do?
It was a flippant.
That's a good word.
Flippant.
Flippant. It was
flippant.
A little bit flippant.
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 Flippant. Okay, yeah, because I said. I'm trying to raise my vocabulary here.
F-L-I-P-P-A-N-T. Flippant. Yeah,
flippant.
Not showing a serious or respectful attitude. You're right about that.
Yeah.
It was flippant, Hugh, and that bothered me yesterday. And not that I'm expecting them to go up there and say, oh, this was the worst season ever. We're sorry. They did win 95. They did make the playoffs. I get that. It just didn't come across. And maybe they're bluffing. I hope they're bluffing. I hope Dombrowski's bluffing. It didn't come across as a team serious about its own issues and why they failed in the biggest moment. How'd you feel?
I wasn't as upset as you were, but I picked up on what you picked up on. I looked at it like this. You're still operating from a position where you had the second best record in baseball. You've progressively gotten better every year. And I feel like with this fan base, you have to handle this fan base a little bit different than you handle any other. This is a smart baseball fan base. Very, very smart baseball fan base. And so when you say, I think there were some words in there that triggered a lot of people. The biggest one was, it's just baseball. And, you get hot when you get hot. And I think that's what made people mad. Another thing that did not trigger me was the fact that he didn't really talk about major moves that were being made. You can't, Joe. That's how I looked at it, because the season's still going on, technically. You're out of it, no doubt. But you want to operate from a position of power. I don't believe that they believe that the way that this team is constructed, they can go into another season doing the same thing.
I hope so. You think yesterday they were bluffing? Because they made it sound like they're running a lot of this back.
Well, listen to what was being said. I think that, who was it? Dombrowski. I think he forgot who he was talking to when he made the comment about Trey Turner's stats and the fact that Trey Turner is the same guy that he was. Like, his numbers are similar to what they were when he got here.
Defensively, yep.
And the fact that, you know, his defensive numbers have diminished a little bit. He had plays in outfield, well, in the field where he didn't make and things of that nature. Though that's talking out of both sides of your mouth. And I think he forgot where he was when he did that. And I think that's what's triggered a lot of people. But I looked at it like this. You can't, with the progress that this team has made in the last three seasons, you can't think that you can go into it next year doing the same thing that you did last year. Because he even said in the press conference, we at the trade deadline, we didn't do a whole lot because we thought we had the guys that we had. And you went out and got, who was the guy that we had? Hayes?
Austin Hayes.
And he's the only guy that got traded during that trade deadline out of all the teams that came in for us and didn't do a thing. Well, everybody else contributed.
Jazz Chisholm is still playing.
Yes.
Lane Thomas is still playing. Yeah,
and that was
all over
that's
the
unfortunate.
That's Jesse
unfortunate
Winker for the Mets.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's unfortunate for us. So I think that what happened for a lot of Philly fans, they got triggered when they heard him use some of the terminology that he used and then hit you with, hey, it's baseball. You can't do that.
Yeah, to use a phrase you use, that dog don't hunt.
That dog does not hunt.
It almost felt like, hey, we did our job. So yeah. Nebraska, I did my job. I built a good team. They didn't win. What do you want me to do? Do your job better. 215-592-9494. Let's hear some of Dave Dabrowski yesterday. I have Rob Thompson. Because the more I listen and I heard the cuts over and over again, I was listening in the car last night picking up my son from baseball, and TK was on, and he's playing some of this, and I'm like, this is annoying, what I heard yesterday. All right, let's go to Dabrowski yesterday talking about, well, you know, we didn't even have the worst chase rate in the series, you know, against the Mets.
Yeah, the unfortunate part, you have a tendency to focus only on your own club, right? This is a downtime from an offensive perspective in professional baseball. What was the average? 243 at the end of the year. Most of our hitters were better than 243. You see the scores in the games in most of the postseason. There's not a lot of run production taking place. So at times we are vulnerable to being pitched well, as are other clubs. But I can't say that, like going into the last 2 months of the season, that we thought, oh, that was going to be a major issue for us. But it's something we'll look at. We'll take a look at trying to address to see if we can make some changes. Sometimes, you know, we talk about, it's interesting, and I know a theme is chase rate, right? I mean, everybody I read in here writes about chase rate. I think it was interesting. We got eliminated. We were sixth in major of the 12 clubs in chase rate in the postseason. And so that's not good, but it's not the worst. We didn't hit. We really didn't hit. Some of it's chase, some of it's approach, some of it's guys not being hot. We actually, if you looked at it, we chased less than the Mets did in that series, percentage-wise.
Can we print the T-shirts now? It's not good, but it's not the worst. The goal is to win a championship.
Yeah,
I don't want to hear that. We weren't the worst, guys.
That's the part that I think rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
Yeah.
That's not what you want to hear after the outcome was what it was.
How about being the best? How about building a team? And he's right. He's right. Offense is down in baseball comparatively.
You have to know the audience that you're talking
to. Yes, and he does. I mean, Dabrowski's been around
a lot. But
this he worked in Boston.
This is why sometimes, Joe, it's better to take another beat before you do something like that, because he knew he was going to get some tough questions. And shout out to all the reporters that did that. Devin was one that asked some pretty
tough questions. Devin,
tough questions. Yeah,
he did a good job.
So it's one of those things where you can't come into a press conference, and I'm not saying he did this, but I'm pretty sure people felt like this, knowing or saying like, hey, I know more than you do.
It came across that way. Again, the quote, it's not good, but it's not the worst. That's not what I'm looking for. We're looking to be the best. The other part, there's context he left out of that. We brought one of the best pitching staffs in, right? He mentioned the Mets had a worse chase rate in the series than the Phillies. Well, they had to face our pitching. They had to face Zach Wheeler. They had to face what you would think is the best starting rotation, 1-4, maybe we thought in the National League. Like, the Mets should have chased more. We had better pitching to throw at them. Their pitching wasn't their strength. So, like, that doesn't impress me, that statistic. He went on here talking about, do they need a missing piece or are they supposed to play well at the right time? Here's Dabrowski.
Well, I don't think that that's the to me, the answer is not the missing piece. The answer is playing well at the right time. And so when you say that, I've always felt you go out there with four good starting pitchers, right? Well, we have four good starting pitchers. You go out there with a good bullpen. Our bullpen didn't pitch well. It just didn't. I mean, that's the way it is. But I really thought going into the postseason that it's an incorrect judgment by me and by a lot of us that we thought our bullpen would be. That's what you're looking to do. We didn't score enough runs. We just did not. I mean, we scored runs in one game. We did not score runs in three games. And so you go back in the past years, there's some games we scored runs and there's other games we didn't. But you really have to play well at the right time. I've been with a lot of really good clubs. I mean, I was with the clubs in Detroit that had three future Hall of Famers on it and a lot of star players and won our division almost every year. And we never won the World Series. It's hard to win. There's a lot of good clubs out there. And so you just have to be the club playing the best at the right time and maybe get a break or two there. But that's what makes winning so feel so good, because it's so hard.
Yeah, I don't want to hear it. It comes across as like, well, it's random. What do you want me to do? Well, build a better team. Make sure the holes you have. He mentioned, you know, star players go cold sometimes. Offense is down. Maybe build a better, deeper lineup to have more answers in case that happens. Instead of having the 5-9 in this lineup be just abysmal from a lot of the season, including the postseason. That was for, let's hear one more. This was Topper. Topper didn't bother me quite as much as DeBrusk yesterday, but Topper yesterday, his extension was announced, which I think is the right thing, and I'm happy Topper's back. But Topper, he didn't get across the great message either yesterday. Here he was.
I mean, we have a good ball club. This is a the roster is a championship roster. It really is. Dave and the front office have done a great job. Now, we haven't gotten it done. I haven't gotten it done. Do we make some tweaks for next year? Do we, you know, we've already talked about it. Do we turn the lineup around or move people around to possibly get a more consistent offense? I don't know. We got to talk about it. At the start of the season, do we give more guys more days off? And I'm not just talking JT or one or two. I'm talking about everybody. Just so that maybe, was it fatigue that set in July? Maybe by giving guys an extra day off here and there early, we can extend that run a little bit longer and right into October.
At least he was a little more reflective of moving forward. I could do, maybe I'll do this, yeah. Maybe I'll do that. DeBrusky just seemed like, hey, what do you want me to do?
Well, because he's the money guy. He's the guy that is in a position to make the ball club better. And he's also in a position where he can't show his hand. That's why I kind of gave him a little bit of grace. But I
get
do
that.
Understand.
I get that part.
Yeah. But when you talk to this fan base and you say certain things that were triggering, I don't even think he realized until after he said it that that's where people were stuck on. But for the most part, the message to me, I took it as, well, you really can't tell what you're going to do. Because even when he was asked about who are we talking about trying to get in the offseason?
Well, he was asked about big free agents. Obviously, well, yeah, we're thinking Soto.
Yeah. We're thinking Soto.
No one said that name because he's still playing.
Nobody said, yeah, he's still playing. But when we start talking about bringing in another star and, you know, possibly increasing the finances to get these guys, he really couldn't get into all that. This is a fluid situation. Even was asked about certain players. Like, being a former player and hearing him talking glowingly about guys that we know as fans that we've seen not play well, it's somewhat annoying. But at the same time, I understood that you're in a position as a GM, as a guy that's making financial decisions about guys' futures, that you can't talk about that right now because you're still...
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
still evaluating and trying to figure out how to make the team better.
I understand it, Hugh, and I didn't expect him yesterday to go up there and say, Alec Bohm, we're going to trade him, we're done with him. Like, yeah. That would be silly, and that would actually be poor GM work by him. He can't ruin his leverage. It just, you know what it was? Down the stretch of the season, it felt like there was a lack of sense of urgency. I got that again yesterday from Dabrowski. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. Were you bothered by that end-of-season Phillies press conference? I was. Hugh wasn't. I was. It didn't set the right tone for me heading into an offseason where they need to figure out what is the missing piece. They don't want to say it, but I'll say it. They need to figure out what's the change, the tweak, to get this thing over the top. Kyle, how'd you feel yesterday as we listened to an hour and 15 minutes of those two try to tell us? It's just baseball.
I'm sort of like you where it didn't really sink in as much until I heard the clips over and over again. And I'm one of those guys, like, you know how I am. I'm very emotional. I was dreading
you?
This playoff series against the Mets because
it's
I knew that
you hear him say he's emotional.
If it ended badly, then I was going to be a mess afterwards. And when I get a chance to listen to those post-season press conferences, the end-of-season press conferences, I sort of want them to match my feelings, my tone about how I feel about the end of the season. Like, that was a failure. When I listen to Howie talk about the end of an Eagles season, he makes it sound like we failed. We didn't accomplish our goals. Even for the to the Sixers' credit, they have similar messaging. I didn't really get that. Like, this offseason is a turning point in this franchise. Like, this is one of the most important Phillies offseasons we've had around here in a long time. And I didn't really hear the sense of urgency that reflects that from Dombrowski, Rob Thompson, anything. Like, this core, this might be our very last chance. We talked about the window closing this year. I don't necessarily think it's closed. But next year is a pivotal moment in whether this core can win a World Series or not. I didn't really get that tone from that press conference. Almost like, no, like, we have to do this right now. It was kind of like, nah, you know, like, that's baseball. Baseball happens. I don't want to hear that. Like, we're the outlier this year. We're the one team that was a top seed or a division winner, whatever, that is not advancing to this CS right now. Like, we blew it. We failed. We look like the failure out of all those teams. I didn't really get that messaging from the press conference.
I didn't either. The best way I could describe the way Dombrowski spoke yesterday, you know how business is bringing consultants to kind of observe?
Somebody who doesn't have their finger on the pulse the situation.
Right, you come in and you kind of observe and you give an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
He acted like a consultant that watched the Phillies this year and said, well, you guys are good, just, you know, just a tough spot at the end. He's the architect. The person in charge of the company can't act like that. Like, he acted as if he just was coming in to give a nice overarching opinion of, yeah, you guys have good players, just didn't work out in this spot, don't worry about it. You're in charge. You built this team. You were the one, the trade deadline, that went out and got Austin Hayes. Hugh mentioned it. There are tons of other players, similar kind of players. You know, that third, fourth outfielder that helped the Mets and the Guardians and all these teams move on. And you didn't do it. And I know Carlos Estevez wasn't bad, but he served up the series losing home run. That's your guy. That was your big acquisition. Yesterday, let's go to the phone lines here. 215-592-9494. Randy in Delaware's up. Hey, Randy.
What's happening, Giglio? What's happening, Hugh?
What's
Randy,
going on,
what's up, buddy?
It's been a while since I've called, and I'll tell you, Jigs, I've been on your side the last five, six calls. Well, you're back to being a buckethead. I don't agree with you.
It is about time, Randy. All right, Randy, what are you thinking?
Listen, man, the last 2 days, I want to say, I sat on hold. Yesterday, I was with Hugh as well, and then today as well. I think that he can't show his hand, guys. He can't.
This is poker. This
man.
Is what's this poker? What's that Kenny Rogers song? You gotta know when to
hold
them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away,
know
when to run. There you go.
Feels like we're playing Rummy with this this GM right now. Go ahead, Randy.
Listen, man. If this is what I feel is going to happen, I think they're going to trade Alec Bohm, get some capital. And they are going to go one of those contracts like Los Angeles did with Shohei to Soto. And they're going to offer him like billions of dollars paid over a 20-year term. And we're going to have that piece. But he can't go out there and say this out loud because there's a few teams, and Yankees being one of them, that can afford this guy. But he's got history with everybody on our team.
He does, from the hitting coach to Trey to – I mean, Randy, if they want to win me back over and I will be Mr. Phillies are going to win 100 games and we're great again, go get Juan Soto. That would do it for me, Randy. Then I'd be happy.
I agree.
Well, that would, I mean, that I would, agree. That, you know what that is? And Randy, it's a good phone call, man. We're glad hearing from you. There's not many quick fixes. He is the fix. He's the best free agent.
Mm-hmm.
He is
600 yams,
everything so. They're missing in terms of their approach. He is. He doesn't swing at bad pitches. He takes
gets
walks.
On base.
I mean, he's amazing. But
600 yams.
Are they going to get him? If I had to guess right now,
that's the start. We start
not.
Next 600 yams.
Of course we are. No, yeah, not that's us. That's John Middleton's
that's
money.
That's what I'm saying. That's a lot of yams. And he, when he was asked in the press conference about whether or not the I guess. The coffers were closed.
Yeah, they had
he
more
said he
to
had,
spend.
He really had no information as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, and he mentions the front office is generous. I mean, like, I think John Middleton would probably let him pursue Soto.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I don't feel like when they went after Harper and Machado, I felt deep down they were going to get one because they were motivated. They were a little bit desperate. I would love Soto here. You guys know I've been talking about him for years and years, and I'd love him on this team. My guess is they're probably not going to get him, so they're going to have to find a different way to make this thing better. Mike in Norristown. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what do you know? What do you say?
Hey, Mike. What's up, buddy?
So much, man. I'm agitated with the press conference yesterday. Like, they're talking like it's no big deal. Like, yeah, we did okay this year. If you're not first, you're last. We should have won the World Series.
And that's it, Mike. Like, the idea that, hey, it's just baseball, it falls on deaf ears. Like, there's something that the Mets did better than you. Why don't we try to copy that instead of saying, well, they just played better for four games? Well, why? Like, it just feels like they're ignoring that part.
Yeah, and, like, they got to make some kind of – like, I didn't want Popper to go either. I wanted to keep him. I think he's a good coach. But maybe get a better hitting coach or something. Make some kind of change.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem well. Yeah, I mean, just based on yesterday, Mike, they're not going to, right? They brought the whole staff back, and Mike, it's a good phone call. Kevin Long is back now. Is part of that maybe they want to pursue Soto, and Soto has a good relationship with Kevin Long? Maybe. I mean, that certainly could be possible there. But it felt like yesterday, from the whole staff back to the way Dombrowski spoke, like, hey, yeah, you guys, we got this. Don't you worry about this. We got it. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop over. We got more calls coming up on the other side. Your phone calls, your reaction here to the Thompson and Dombrowski press conference. Did it bother you yesterday? Listen to them. And really specifically for me, it was Dombrowski. I thought Topper did try to spin forward some things he could tweak.
A little positive.
Yeah, and at least he's open to some ideas. And I don't know if I agree with all of them, but like, all right, maybe we got to do this different. Dombrowski just seemed like, hey, yeah, well, I built a good team. They didn't win. What do you want me to do? We'll play more audio from that throughout the show. And when we get back, I want to compare and contrast the tone of other GMs in the city after knockouts. You know, the last year, it's been the same exit for all three teams that have been in the postseason. Out in round one, Eagles. Out in round one, Sixers. Out in round, you know, their first round, obviously the Phillies didn't play in the wild card, but out in their first round, Phillies. Well, you're going to hear the three GMs, Maury, Howie, Dombrowski, the differences in how they spoke afterwards. Because it didn't sound to me like Dombrowski was taking on the same tone as the other guys. 215-592-9494.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.